Mics are live.
Good afternoon. It is Thursday, January 2nd, 2020, 3:02 p.m. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Crispin. Also from staff, we have Brian Johnson and Patrick Fawn at the table with us. And this is a work session on lighting mitigation compliance, PU-15-690. 16-42, 16-123, 17-20, or 284, 18-280, and 18-352. This is Commissioner Fedorchuk's portfolio. So, Commissioner Crispin, any opening comments?
Thank you. I do not have any opening comments other than Happy New Year.
Yep. Happy New Year, everyone. And Commissioner Fedorchuk,
I'll okay. hand it over to you. Very good. Thank you. Well, we had a law that had a deadline of the end of December of 2019 for the wind energy conversion facilities that were issued a certificate of site compatibility or a permit by June 5th of 2016 to be compliant with light mitigating technology system. So we sent a letter out in mid-December asking for an update from the companies. We've received all of those. And unfortunately, it looks as if none of the systems are actually operational at this point based on what we've received from the companies. But maybe, Pat, everybody has the table, right? There's six wind facilities that were permitted after that time frame that are under these requirements. And so I guess what we maybe should walk through each one and talk through what we know to be the case and then talk about the law a little bit and our rules and see what kind of options we have and where we want to go from here in terms of compliance action or what steps we have, next steps we have moving forward in this regard. So, Pat, do you want to just kind of briefly walk through each of the facilities and what the latest status is?
Sure. Well, first, I guess the I'd just name off the wind farms that appear to need to be meeting this deadline by December 31st of 2019, and they include the Brady Wind Energy Center, Brady Wind 2 Energy Center, Oliver 3 Wind Energy Center, Foxtail Wind, Emmons Logan Wind Energy Center, and Aurora Wind. The first three, Brady Wind Energy Center and Brady 1, Brady 2, and Oliver 3, kind of have the same status at this point. They are all three commercially operational. They are planning to test the lighting system has been installed, and they're planning to test it either January 2nd or January 3rd or whenever the weather permits. And then I'm assuming then that the lighting system would be fully functional sometime shortly after testing.
Now, in those letters from, just to interrupt briefly, NextEra's attorney on Brady 1 and 2 and Oliver, it sounds to me like they have undergone some testing already. There's additional test flights that need to occur to make sure that the communication system is working correctly, the software and communication systems. Is that a fair assessment, Pat?
Yes, because they do say additional testing okay. and fine-tuning.
All right.
Go ahead. Looks like you have.
No, just I thought it was important what the company said. The Wind Center requires certain additional testing and fine-tuning of its software and communication systems to ensure that the lights are fully controlled by the radar system and the ADLS can be safely deployed. So they anticipate these tests will occur. They really didn't say, you know, whether they anticipated any additional problems. I suppose maybe they don't know what to expect from those tests. Sorry.
Okay, so on these three, and I think they kind of fall into their own category. They're all roughly 3 years old, give or take a couple months. This law has been in effect for, what, 2.5 years?
Mm-hmm.
That everyone knew when this deadline was. You know, there's this filing that, yes, is a little more work, that fine-tuning with the communications technology. But on Monday or Tuesday of this week, we got a different letter that thought it would be operational. For whatever reason, and it just seems almost unimaginable to me, to have 2.5 years to implement a system and wait till the last few hours to test it. And so, because earlier this week they thought it would be operational and functional by January 1st, like it was supposed to be, tells me that during that testing, in those last few hours, something didn't work quite right, and now it needs to be worked on. And it just is so disappointing to me that out of a 2.5 year window, you would wait to put this together and have it developed far enough to do your testing until the last hours.
I don't disagree, Randy. I mean, this law and this deadline was not a surprise to anybody, least of all these companies that were permitted that long ago. So I think we'll come back to what options we have in terms of compliance, if that's okay, and we'll talk through the rest of them.
But I just wanted to add that, so the filing this morning, there's a little more testing, and I don't want these things to start being used until they're going to be safe. That's always been the way we've moved forward with these, that, you know, when they're safe and approved by FAA. And so I just didn't want whoever's listening to us to think, well, this is the only communication, and they've almost got it, that is a little more work. Just a couple days ago it was going to be done, too.
Yeah, no, obviously it has to be working 100% fail-proof, as much as any system can be. And at the same time, the legislature and our office, we've made promises to the public that these are going to be operational. And there's a deadline that was clear. And so it's our job now to figure out what our response is going to be for those companies that aren't compliant. So the other three, Pat, you want to walk through those as well?
Okay, so next on the list is Foxtail. We just received a response from written response from them this morning, mm-hmm. and that they, in that response, they indicated that they had gone commercially operational on December 31st, but they do have some FCC permits and approvals that are pending, and they hope to have their system, light mitigating system, functional by January 31st of 2020, and they asked for a waiver in their written filing.
Okay. We'll come back to this because I want Brian to walk through the law in a minute, and we can talk about what exists in terms of waiver options or not.
I want to ask Pat a question on this, though. Because I didn't find it in this filing that came in this morning. Have you had any other communication? There's some reason why the FAA approved these others, but this one is still waiting. Is their system questionable compared to what the others filed? Did they not file it soon enough? Did they do a poor job of filing it and they got returned? What caused that to not be there? Was anything ever said about that?
I don't have any information along those lines. The next is Emmons Logan, and their response was rather recent. Two was December 27th. They were commercially operational on December 16th. And they indicated that they will use the traditional lighting system until their ADLS is installed. And they indicated that they are waiting for delivery of their radar control system, and they expect that in the first quarter of 2020.
And are they commercially operational?
Yes, as of December 16th.
Okay.
And next on the list, Aurora Wind is under construction. They indicated in their application, I believe, that they were hoping to be commercially operational by December of 2020. And they have plans for the light mitigating system to be operational at the same time as the project is commercially operational.
Okay. All right. So there's no compliance issue on that one as of now on Aurora, because they aren't commercially operational, so they don't have to have a ADLS up and running until they are. You're not nodding.
Well, that's because of the weird thing that occurred with the law.
So you can take that view. So as far as the law goes, you go to 49.22.16.4 of Century Code. Part one is the mandate that we needed to adopt rules by January 1 of 2019. And we are dealing mostly with Section 2. It says, by December 31st, 2019, every wind energy conversion facility for which the Commission issued a certificate of the site of compatibility after June 5th, 2016, must be equipped with a functioning light mitigation technology system that complies with the rules adopted by the Commission. The reason I wasn't shaking my head is it doesn't say commercially operational. It doesn't say fully constructed. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have a lighting system on something that doesn't exist. But if you take a strict reading of the statute, anything that was issued a permit is supposed to have a functioning light system by December 31st. But again, can you put something on something that doesn't exist?
No. So we're not going to worry about that. That doesn't make sense.
So then,
I agree with that. That's clearly what the intent was.
Yeah.
When it comes to operation.
So if you go to 6906.1102 is our rules on it. Again, it just says a wind energy conversion facility for which a certificate of site's compatibility was issued after June 5th, 2016 must be equipped with a functioning light mitigation technology in compliance with this chapter by December 31st, 2019. And I know you had asked earlier about what sort of mechanisms are built in for extensions and waivers. There is nothing that is spelled out in rules and laws for these facilities that gives you guys guidance or authority to issue extensions or waivers. That was, it is put in place for facilities cited before that date that were already in existence. There is a waiver and extension period that deals with feasibility, economics, and FAA approval. But there's nothing specifically spelled out that says one way or the other on extensions or waivers at this point for these six facilities.
Okay, so what about number four in our rules?
So that states that to allow proper conspicuity, if that's a word, of a turbine at night during construction, a turbine may be lighted with temporary lighting until the permanent lighting configuration, including the light mitigation technology, is implemented. I think this would be a good place to assume that you can't put lights on something that doesn't exist in the case of Aurora, because it's under construction. During construction, they're allowed to use a temporary lighting system, which would make sense because as the towers all go up, I'm sure these, they have to be linked together so that this all works properly.
Mm-hmm.
So when a facility is under construction, they are permitted to use temporary lighting to keep the project in compliance with FAA and alert aircraft that they're there.
So this one, though, the question, I guess, relates to the Xcel application for an extension, which really is, I mean, I appreciate them asking for it. There was really no extension process established, per se, in our rules or in the law. But they referenced this. That facility, however, is not still under construction, is it?
It's commercially operational, I believe. So I guess there's nothing that says and spells out either in the Century Code chapter or our rulemaking that states at what stage the lighting has to be complete. It mm-hmm. says under construction they can use it, but if all the towers are complete and they're producing power and selling it and putting it on the market, but they haven't finished all the access roads or they're still installing culverts, you could still technically call the project under construction
mm-hmm.
until all construction is complete. But the towers and everything else could be functional and commercially operational. So,
yeah. Do you guys have thoughts on commercially operational or this whole issue of something still under construction?
Well, I think if we were going to claim that, I mean, you, for example, you blade roads, it's always going to be under construction. If you're going to claim that, there never is an end then. To me, once they go on into commercial operation, after that, it's maintenance.
Yeah. Well, if they're still building roads, it's different than blading them or, you know, that's maintenance, obviously, but they're still constructing things. I can see where you could argue that it's still under construction.
Aren't the roads typically in place in order to move equipment around? And
I use that as an example. Yes, most likely the roads would be done before the towers are constructed. Mm-hmm. But just as an example, there could be ancillary construction to a wind project that's not the actual constructions of the towers is mm-hmm. kind of more the point I was trying to make.
I think primary construction would be safe to assume is completed when they're commercially operational.
I would assume so.
Yeah. So when we adopted these rules, and Jack, this might need, you know, might need to be engaged in this question since Brian wasn't here during the rules process, but I don't recall, but I could be mistaken, that there was feedback from the industry that this December deadline was unreasonable or did, and, well, it was already in law, so maybe they wouldn't even suggest that it was because it had already been approved by the legislature. But was there any request for an extension that we add to our rules and extension process?
My recollection is correct. There was not a request to add an extension for that purpose on that specific area.
Okay. But we did have a lot of conversation with industry on our rules package for this.
Yes, we did.
And there was lots of back and forth and public hearings on it.
Yes, there was.
Okay. So I guess the question then gets to what tools and options do we have for compliance?
Well, if you take the stance that the deadline was a hard deadline and that these facilities have missed that deadline, there is the penalty provision in law that, let's see if I can pull it up here, it's 49.22.21. that allows for criminal penalties and also civil penalties. Under the civil penalties, it's not to exceed $10,000 for each such violation for each day that the violation persists. The maximum penalty may not exceed $200,000 for any related series of violations. So there would probably be a cap for each one of these facilities mm-hmm. that's not in compliance of about of the $200,000 for that violation.
And help me understand, you used some language that suggests that we have some leeway to use our judgment in terms of whether it's a hard deadline. I don't see a lot of leeway there that it isn't a hard deadline, but help me understand what kind of discretion we have here from a legal standpoint.
I guess in addition to those tools, there are a couple other tools you could look at, including, I know there's the provision for, and I know Brian and I, we've spoken about this too, suspending a site certificate or anything. You could also have a hearing to revoke a site certificate. But in the general powers of the commission, there is the ability to take a number of actions, including compelling companies to do take action. And I think Brian probably could speak to this as well, as in the enforcement, there's a certain amount of discretion how the commission would like to go forward. For example, you can start with compliance orders in order to try to get someone into compliance. You could find someone in noncompliance and maybe start with give a graduating penalty, or you could probably just set out a penalty in the front end if you feel that's appropriate as well. There are also a number of mechanisms you guys can proceed to go forward with this, depending on how the commission feels is appropriate, including an order to show cause or formal complaint process as well.
Well, I want them to know this is a deadline that we take seriously and that they need to meet this. We have been in contact with these companies throughout the last couple of years, asking them how it's going. Like, this didn't just happen in December. Jack, I know a year ago or more, we were in contact with these companies, asking them, how's it going? What are you hearing? What are the issues? And so, here we are. And it's just like days away, but they didn't meet it. And so I'm not real interested in a lot of the excuses for not meeting it, because I feel like with a little more advanced planning, it could have been met.
Sure.
At the same time, I don't want them rushing in and putting things in place that aren't fully capable of doing what they need to do. So, there's a balancing act there that we need to send a message that this is serious, it needs to be done, and it needs to be done soon, but it needs to be done right. So how we get their attention with that, what tools we use to provide that message, that's what I'm interested in, whether it be a compliance order with a graduated penalty sort of mechanism with some deadlines in place, mm-hmm. And then more communication with us in terms of the specifics or It's new technology. It's a new system. I get that. There are variables that we need to recognize, and we definitely want them to do this safely. So that's, I guess, what I'd like to, the avenue I'd like to explore. I don't know how you, Randy, and
how many,
Brian feel about it.
How many
it.
Requests for extension did you receive?
We've only received a request from Northern States Power.
Right. So we're talking about four responses that came in on January 2nd with no prior request for extension, saying, we don't know if we're going to make it. Did they indicate that in any way?
Well, it's possible that in the letter that we sent out, they saw that there was no opportunity for an extension on these facilities.
Mm-hmm. And the date on that
so
letter again was? And the date on that letter was?
December 11th. for one, December 19th, or December 11th for most of them. December 19th, I believe it was for one of them. And then Amron's Logan was the first one, actually, that went out. That was on did anybody print those out?
And the law is very clear. It says, must be equipped with a functioning light mitigating technology in compliance with this chapter by December 31st, 2019, which we all know. So it wasn't. That's pretty, it's as clear as it can be to me. I wish they had come forward 2 or 3 months ago and expressed whatever concerns they might have or potential challenges. Otherwise, we operate under the assumption that they're going to meet the deadline, and not getting a response 2 days after the deadline saying we didn't make it.
Did we have some conversations a while back that there were some challenges? I think we did, with NextEra maybe, but I'm thinking it's more like a year ago. Jerry, do you have any?
I can't remember exactly, but I do recall.
You better get a mic because there's people listening on the phone.
Turn it on, too. There you go.
You know, I don't recall exactly, but I do kind of recall the conversations, progress reports or something towards how they were coming on it.
I have maybe a little bit more information on past correspondence. The commission's orders in the two Brady Wind cases and Oliver 3, their orders required the implementation by December 31st of 2018.
Yeah. Okay, I was going to say that they had a whole extra year.
Right, just right around that time we were getting letters from the wind farms.
Mm-hmm.
And we have those docketed in our cases. And
yeah.
No indicating, I guess I didn't read them as closely as I've read some of the others, but so here's one, October 11th of 2018 for Brady Wind. It was an update by Brady Wind. They continue to work toward receiving required FAA approval of the lighting system mitigation. Their contractor, their vendor for the ADLS system, received technical notice from the FAA approving the technology. On July 26, 2018, Brady Wind submitted an application to the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, requesting site-specific approval of the installation. That request was still pending at that time. And then they said, once the FAA issues the site-specific approval, and once weather conditions permit start of activities, Brady estimates it will take approximately 6 months to install ADLS at Brady Wind Center. So that would mean middle of 2019, they were expecting it to be completed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Brady Wind 2 and Oliver 3 letters are very similar.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised with those three projects because I had a lot of conversations last summer with NextEra, and they talked about an October implementation timeframe. And so I don't know why it's taken so long or what's, you know, they didn't provide a lot of rationale in the letter explaining how complicated it is, or the technical issues that they've been having, or, you know, those types of challenges. We didn't ask for that either in their defense. So, well, do you guys have thoughts on 121? I mean, I laid out what I'm thinking. I think we need to set up some type of a compliance mechanism with some penalties in place, whether it's a daily, weekly, monthly. I don't know. I don't have that specifically laid out yet, and that's why I wanted to visit and get everybody's sense so we could think through this together.
You go that route the way the law is written, or is that it's on a daily basis up to a certain amount. So not on a monthly basis or a weekly basis, but a daily. So I would imagine that's the baseline we'd have to operate, or the structure.
Sorry, I didn't understand the, I didn't hear the last question, part of your question, Commissioner.
Oh, just the fact that if we're, you know, going that route would require a mechanism based on a daily.
Do we have to follow that exactly? It feels a little bit less like not to exceed $10,000 for each violation for each day the violation persists. Does that mean we have to calculate it on a daily basis?
I don't believe it means that we have to necessarily calculate on a daily basis. I would say that that probably would be the limitation of
what
we can't exceed within that time period.
Yeah, for the amount.
Using that calculation for the amount.
I interpret it that way, too, that that's the maximum, but we could do a $1 amount or one penalty, and you know that that is pending that it's finalized by a certain time, and then review it again if it's still not done.
Right. Have you thought about penalty amounts?
I don't know exactly what amount. I will tell you this. I don't think it should be $10,000 a day.
No,
because
nor do
I. Because we're in the early end of this. And although it seems to me that this was not a priority and it got kicked down the road too long and then all of a sudden hurried, it is still a pretty new thing. It's first time out for North Dakota wind farms. And so I'm certainly not in favor of hitting them with $10,000 a day off the bat. But I do think, as you stated very well, that we need to do something to get their attention and to make this more of a priority. And whether, I guess I'm torn between a lesser amount or a lesser amount per day, or is it a little bit more substantial amount, but that it is suspended if it's completed by middle of January or the end of January? Or I think a larger penalty with a suspended amount for a relatively quick completion is also an option that we could do. But I do
I like that a lot.
Dollar amounts specifically in my mind.
I don't know if staff has had this conversation, but it sounds like what you really are trying to push the companies to do is you're trying to create a cudgel to force them into compliance with the law. And what you could do, or staff could do, is on the front end immediately put them in notice that they're in non-compliance and in violation of the current law. And then you could leave open the penalty to the end for when they are in compliance, because, for example, what if they never get in compliance? Do we cap off that penalty, or do we say you're not able to operate this facility in accordance with the law? It would allow you an opportunity to consider these, how they're operating, what measures they're taking. I know in most areas of our enforcement, we take in multiple factors into consideration and what the ultimate penalty is in the end as well. So if you do that, that might provide you the opportunity to see how the company reacts.
Yeah.
And then decide the penalty on a later date.
Evaluate it based on the response and whatever conditions they tell us about.
Correct.
And
I have discussed that with Pat before, and that was going to be something that I suggested as well, that that they be put on notice that they're not in compliance, and at a later time we're able to assess each one on an individual basis and determine what type of action to take from there.
So in that you would spell out what the law says in terms of what the penalties could be, and up to suspending or revoking a certificate, which is also a penalty. Again, I wouldn't envision doing that, but they have to comply with the law. And this isn't just a rule that was established by us or put in the ordering provisions. This was established by the legislature with a lot of input from industry in both this and the rulemaking. So the fact that these deadlines were missed is is surprising, quite honestly. It's very surprising and disappointing. But I'm encouraged that some of them seem very close to being in compliance, and that hopefully within a matter of days they will be. And then everybody will. It should be easier moving forward as the technology becomes more familiar for the industry and more available, and the FAA becomes more accustomed to it and everything. So, Randy?
I like that idea with a couple clarifications. For one thing, I just want to be clear, because I don't feel like we really came to a clear end on the conversation, but I think we're all on the same page. Aurora's out of this, right? Because we're looking at them as being under construction and not really in violation at this point.
That's
how I view it.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm talking about the other five.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that idea, and I do think it's important, even if it's done within just now the next few days, like there's some indication that a few of them might be. You know, this is a big deal to a lot of people. We've heard that in numerous sighting cases. We've put our credibility to the citizens that we're representing out there too. And even if they're done pretty quickly, if these dates start to become kind of meaningless things that are just, you know, rough times, it will get rougher and rougher, and things will never come to the end that we're all seeking and that the law is requiring.
Yeah.
And so I do like that suggestion, whoever made it, that, you know, put them on notice that they're in violation. But then I think in the coming days or weeks, mm-hmm. we need to follow up with an action. And again, I don't think it should be the highest available under the law at this point, but if something smaller doesn't do the job and they're not getting done, then we'll have to revert to something mm-hmm. more significant.
Yeah. I do want to emphasize what you just said too, that there's this matter to a lot of people at the two Bradys and the Oliver. At the Oliver hearing, one of the only people that came, her big issue was the night skies. And when we said the company has agreed to this, because at that point it wasn't in law, and it was, you know, that we promised that this would be done, and we basically said a year ago, she was like, oh, well, that takes away my issue then. And in the Brady hearings too, the night skies were a huge deal to those people down there. And they were promised that this would happen. And when you don't meet those promises, it just erodes people's trust in government, which is already at an all-time low. So we absolutely have to follow through with this and get this stuff done. It's just it's a small matter, perhaps, for these companies who are dealing with much bigger issues, but it matters a lot to the people that live in and amongst these facilities. I don't have anything more, Brian. So, just to wrap it up, will you guys draft something?
I'm not done.
Okay.
I'm not in complete agreement with the direction you two have been moving this forward. I think it's soft, frankly, to say we'll take a wait and see and then come back later with whatever it's going to be in terms of an amount. I would rather set an amount per day effective January 1st. And I'd be more than willing to suspend a portion of that if they hit, say, a February 1st or January 31st deadline, and have it very clear that, you know, whether it's $1,000 a day with half of it suspended or whatever it might be, you have to realize that companies, and if they understand the law, which is a requirement of doing business here, and the law is not hard to find, and we've talked about it with the companies, that you have to be in compliance. I mean, we're a regulatory body. And I agree with working with industry and being reasonable, but it doesn't seem like anyone made a good case ahead of time that we don't think we're going to make it. And here's why, and can we get an extension? So we're operating under the assumption they're going to make it. And I don't want companies just to start weighing these things out, saying, you know what, even if we're fined today, we're going to make more operating than what the penalty would be, and we still come out ahead. And it just, that doesn't incent them to follow the law from the get-go. So we have to be really careful with that. So I'd rather see a set amount. And if they can hit whatever we determine as a reasonable deadline, which is passed, but okay, so now we've got to set a new one. It just is what it is. Can't backtrack. That if they are in compliance by end of the month or whatever date we come up with, then we would suspend a portion, a chunk of whatever the daily amount would be for the penalty. That's what I'd like to see versus a wait and see, and we'll figure out the penalty later. But I'm one of three.
There's great value to what you've suggested, Brian, and I don't think it's necessarily the wrong approach. The only thing I don't like about it is I feel like we can accomplish, like if we say you're not in compliance and here's the potential penalties and then make it clear to them that they need to get into compliance and then we see when they're, we still have the ability to go and weigh all the factors and say, great, you came into compliance, but you still are going to pay for the time in which you weren't in compliance versus just a set amount per day starting now. I guess I'd worry a little bit about them rushing to do the job and not doing it as thoroughly as it needs to be done.
It still has to meet FAA requirements.
Well, the FAA doesn't. Ultimately, I don't think they've approved it ahead of time, but are they out there testing it and saying this works?
My understanding, it is not the FAA that goes out and, I guess, approves the site. I think they approve the layout, if I understand it correctly.
And the technology.
So the company provides them, this is how we'd like to do it, and they say, if you do it in this manner, it should be appropriate under our regulations.
Yeah. But I mean, Randy, if you want to take this approach, I mean, I'm open to it. I like the flexibility a little bit more of providing the notice and then having a look back when they are in compliance on the factors and then the appropriate penalty at the time for being out of compliance.
So that are suspended penalties, I think the ones that I can recall have to do with us setting a penalty for someone having violated something. They violated it and it's done. And we give them a penalty, and then they only have to pay a percentage of it, or even none, and we suspend the rest pending that they are not back here in the next certain period of time. As I understood you, Mr. Chairman, talking was to give them a penalty now, and then if it's done later, we would refund some of that, and I don't think we can do that because once we do a penalty, I think it goes to the general fund, and we wouldn't have any money to refund some of it. I don't think we can refund it once we take it, probably. So
I'm not sure if I fully understand the manner in which a suspended penalty based upon a daily penalty would proceed. Ultimately, you'll have to do a full assessment at the end, unless we're planning on issuing a penalty every single day, I mean, separately. Mm-hmm. Regardless, I view it almost as the end result would be the same both ways, except for one provides you the a little more flexibility in case you'd like to do something possibly more drastic. For example, Mr. Chairman, if you decided you felt that assessing a penalty on a daily basis is the appropriate way to go about it, you would have that opportunity to do that once you have found them now in compliance, if that makes any sense. You'd have that opportunity to assess that penalty in that manner at the end. Usually, usually the full penalty too would operate after they've had the opportunity to have a hearing if they request one as well. And so it seems to me that regardless, it's going to have to be processed similar to the manner that we were describing before, where we're going to find out we found them in violation, but there's still going to have to be some sort of finding at the end, and we'll have to assess all the extraneous factors as well. I'm not sure that made any sense to you.
What Brian is saying and what you offered as a path are the same. It's just that we wouldn't set the final amount right now. We could decide $1,000 a day. We could decide $10,000 flat fine. We could decide we want to do $500 a day or $10,000 a day, or, you know, if it was extreme.
What I'm saying is, on the front end, if we're going to assess a penalty, they still have the opportunity to go through the due process. And so if they request a hearing now, we might have to have that hearing now before they're even all finished up. And so it seems to me that it'd be better and more easy to do some sort of enforcement action at the end when we know where they are.
Yeah.
And then set the penalty at that date accordingly, which we could do then at that date in the exact manner that you envision this going, Commissioner, Mr. Chairman.
Maybe you could kind of outline what the letter might read like that you're anticipating would be sent to these companies.
Sure.
The non-compliance letter or whatever.
So in the case of Emmons Logan, they notified us early December. Was it even late end of November? I can't remember when exactly.
Emmons Logan?
Yeah.
I just looked that up. We sent them the letter on December 6th, and we asked them to give us an update weekly.
So it was either end of December, end of November, early December. They sent us a letter stating, look, we know this deadline's coming up. Our part is, I believe, sitting on a container ship in England. We have no control over when it gets sent here. We're just notifying you that while it's basically when it gets here, we're going to be able to install it and go functional. We're not going to make the deadline. So at that point, I looked into to see if there was any possibility that the extension and didn't cover that, so we sent them the letter basically that stated, thank you for, you know, letting us know what's going on. If it's not put in place by this day, it looks like you will be in non-compliance with that statute. I don't think we sent out any details of the possible penalties or anything like that, but I'm guessing we could use the same letter or something very similar and put in the penalties, maximum penalties, and include that in there so that they're aware of what the potential violation could ultimately be.
Is that indicated in the December 11th letter with the penalty?
The penalties, could be? No.
But at the same time, it's...
You
would have to assume that they've been tracking the law.
So what we're looking at is either what Brian suggested, which is more of like a letter saying you are in compliance and we're assessing $1,000 per day until you're in compliance.
Out of compliance.
Well, until you're in compliance.
Right.
Or a letter saying you're not in compliance, you need to get in compliance as soon as possible, and you are subject to penalties of up to $10,000 a day, maximum $200,000 for as long as you remain out of compliance.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I guess one little caveat to that, as I would say, is we probably wouldn't say that we are assessing. If we take the approach that Chairman Crosh is saying, we would probably say we intend to assess that set amount.
Mm-hmm. One thing I kind of like about not setting the amount now, but informing them, finding them to be out of compliance and what the potential penalties are, then in these coming days and weeks until they get these operational, depending on what kind of explanations there are or what kind of holdups there are, that is their fault, somebody else's fault, I could imagine these having different amounts, mm-hmm, that the daily penalty ends up being. And one thing about, by not setting it now, they know it could be up to $10,000 a day. Once we set something a little lower, well, then is that a big deal to a company of this size? So it leaves open the maximum penalty.
I would also suggest that we include some language stating that, in addition, that we could revoke or suspend the site permit, and at some point for operating in violation as well, because that is another penalty that could be assessed if you guys wanted to. So I think that would be, it's a much bigger hammer, but, and I don't think anybody's willing to swing it at this point, but I think it's something that they should be made aware of, that operating, since most of them are commercially operational, that that a violation is something that you guys could potentially revoke the site certificate or permit, however that works, to, you know, force them to shut down until it's resolved.
I agree with that.
That would be the I'm assuming the largest hammer that we have.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, for those listening and here, it's not okay, though, to make your case on why you're late after the fact. And granted, Emmons Logan would be, I would be more lenient, so to speak, because they have communicated. But I asked the question earlier, did we have any type of communication like that with the first four?
Before the letter that we sent?
Mm-hmm. Saying, this isn't going well, the FAA is holding us up, you know, we've got a part somewhere that we just... I mean, there are probably reasons why, but it's January 2nd, and we're guessing as to why they're late, and the deadline was December 31st.
I'm thinking we didn't have anything in writing before we actually asked them to provide us updates.
Right, because we're operating under the assumption, you know, from some process that started 2.5 years ago, that they were going to be on time.
Other than the letters you suggested we got or referenced earlier from when we had the deadline of last year and our orders from these other companies.
No, I thought we were talking specifically about Emmons Logan for Commissioner Grush's question.
No, he was talking about all of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we did receive those other that other correspondence on Brady Wind Farms and Oliver 3 because of the December 2018 deadline.
Yeah. So, all right. Are we anything else? I don't have anything else. I guess I think we're kind of, I still feel like I like Jack's approach of just, and Brian's of just including the reference to the penalty provisions in law and not committing to a set dollar amount at this point that we would intend to find.
I guess I just get to say that lucky for me, I get to tell you what you guys kind of can and can't do legally. It's up to you to do what you want to do. So either one of those options works, I think, legally. So it's entirely up to you guys on which direction you want to head. But either way you go, I think it works. I think with Commissioner Krosius's approach, Jack has highlighted a couple things that I think are important. And I think either way we move forward, we can make either one of those work. It's really up to what you guys want to do.
Well, anyway, I'd direct staff to do it that way, the way that you first suggested, Jack. I don't know if Randy still agrees with that or not.
I do.
Okay. So then why don't we go ahead and draft that letter and you can move ahead with it. Do you guys want to see it? Okay. You can work with me and we'll kind of come up with the language and then we can shop it around. But we should try to get it out fairly soon.
I hope tomorrow.
If we're going to do this as, I guess, as a commission letter as opposed to giving staff the direction to do it and just having them do it unilaterally, we probably would have to get all three of you together in a quorum to review this and approve it then if you would all like to essentially have proof of the final.
I'm also okay with directing staff to get a letter out.
Yeah, I think that's better too.
Okay.
Sure.
Let's send a copy.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I'd like to see, what's going, the sign out went out. I think we've got the general idea of what it's going to say. That's true. Actually, pretty clear idea. Okay.
Okay.
Anything else?
Nothing else for me, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
Thank you, staff.
This work session is concluded.